Man, if it wasn't for the grace of God, none of us could ever be saved. What do we have to brag about? Nothing but Jesus. Every one of us were sinners, and every one of us remains sinners until we get to heaven. And it's so awesome that he took us as sinners, and he did what? He transformed us, he saved us, he washed us, and now he uses us for his glory.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Years ago, Raul took so many wrong turns with his life, he felt he could never get back on track. Then he experienced Christ's saving grace and started on a new path of faith and hope. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of Raul's inspiring testimony. Well, thank you for joining us for our continued series in 2 Corinthians. Today, as Raul examines the Apostle Paul's lifelong commitment to spreading the gospel, you'll find motivation to share the good news of Jesus with greater courage and compassion. Each of us needs to consider the ways we can more boldly communicate how Christ has given the eternal hope of heaven, and today's message will help us do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, here's Raul Reese.
He starts out in verse 1 here. In chapter 3, and he's going to teach us that we find Paul the Apostle totally defending himself. He doesn't defend himself ever, but he defends himself at this time because they're saying things that are not true about him. He says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as someone others, epistles of commendation to your letters of commendation from you? They would bring these letters that were not real letters about him. They were false. You ever have someone do that to you? Saying things about you that are not true and people believe those things? The Lord always defends you, believe it or not. Paul the Apostle learned that. And then Paul says that you really don't need to not only to defend yourself, but you need to really preach the gospel without any fear. He wants to make sure they understand that he is not the one that started that church. That he is the one that God called, just like you, just like me. And when God called you, he saved you. He baptized you with the Holy Spirit. He gets you to a church to sit on, to hear the word of God, to learn, to develop, and then to take the gospel out to your families, take the gospel out to your friends, and take the gospel out to the world. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28. That's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. And God is looking for people like Paul, like James, like Peter, like John, like Matthew, all these guys. And they're here. Believe it or not, you're here. And God wants to use your lives. But you have to be open to the Holy Spirit to see what God wants in your life. Look at verse 2. He says, you are our epistle written in our hearts. Can you imagine? Those are the most loving words you've ever heard in your life. An affirmation for you, for me. The Corinthians. I mean, think of what Paul says here. You guys are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men, which means what? I walk the life of Christ. Can people do that? Can they read the word of God in your life? Are you practicing what you preach? Is the word of God really making an effect in your life? Or is it just something you read? Or something you do just to do. And Paul's very straight what he says here. Paul had a case here. He not only says, you are my epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men, which means people are watching you. They watch the way you react when you're under pressure, when you're late to work or you're leaving early or whatever you're doing. People are watching all your actions. And then they'll judge you and you'll do one thing. You'll bring them to Christ by your life or you'll push them away from Christ by your life. And Paul pulled people to Christ all the time because he lived according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, clearly you are an epistle of Christ. Notice you're a letter, not written with ink. Paul is saying here, it's just incredible that Paul had the Corinthian Christians take the chance in their lives and live a changed life of Jesus Christ to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Written not with ink, but by the Holy Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tables of flesh, that is of the heart. The heart is deceitful, desperate, wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, know your hearts. I know your hearts. And then he says in verse 4, and we have such trust, notice self-confidence, through Christ, toward God, that we're to trust here, or such trust here, the Greek word is to trust means to win. In the Greek, to win. Paul had the confidence to stay the course and to finish, well, the course that was given to him. By who? By the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that we are sufficient or complete. Three times he says that. Here in verse 5 and then chapter 3, 5 and then 3, 6. Not that we are sufficient or complete. He says, of ourselves, to think anything of being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. I love that. Paul's power did not come from within, but from above. Memorize that. From above, from heaven. That's where it comes from. Nowhere else. Who? Christ also made us sufficient as manifestors of the new covenant, not of the old letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Isn't that cool? What he says there? The best law could do was condemn the sinner. That's all the law could do. But the Spirit, that's what gives life. The Spirit convicted me. The Spirit saved me, and the Spirit has empowered my life to be able to live the life of Jesus Christ in my life. That's what just blows me away when you read the scriptures and you see what God is doing. And I think Paul had the vision as he speaks here concerning the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is what's empowered my life. I got baptized immediately with the Holy Spirit, immediately. I got the guys at Costa Mesa lay hands on me, man. I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. Used to go out to the afterglow service. And I got baptized. And from that point on, my wife noticed a difference in my life. I had the power to go to Baldwin Park High School, to go to Northview High School, Bassett High School, all the high schools around, and go at lunchtime and share the gospel with young people. And I was only 24 years old, and people get saved. And I didn't even know what I was preaching yet. I was just a new Christian. But the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the same power God's giving me today. You need to have the power. People need to see the power, dunamis power in our lives like they did with Paul. As he said in verse 6, we also made us sufficient as ministers, servants of the new covenant. Not in the letter, the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. God forgave you, God forgave me. And then he says, verse 7, but if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, speaking that, notice, the law kill it, but what? The grace of God is better than the law. He says, was glorious, that the old covenant was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. When God manifested himself, he did so by reducing what his attributes, invisible light, to Moses. Moses, here it is. Remember, he had to put a veil over his face? Over his face. And think of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, in my life, that people maybe don't see this light on our faces, but I know that I feel the Holy Spirit in my life. I know I'm in this time to teach, time to preach, time to tell people about Jesus. We need that power, dunamis power in our lives, even tonight here. And Paul tells us here, verse 8, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? I mean, how can you say that? The ministry of the Holy Spirit is Paul's descriptive term of a new covenant. This is my new life. This is not under the old law. This is the new law, and that is the grace of God, the Spirit of God in my life. Verse 9, for if the ministry of the condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. I love that. Another name for the ministry of death, the ministry of condemnation. That's another term. And then known as the ministry of righteousness, the new covenant, it emphasizes here what? On the righteousness provided by who? By Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ provided. Verse 10, for even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. The word here, made glorious here, yet when you compare this with the new covenant, it really had no glory at all. The ministry of the gospel of grace in Christ surpasses any covenant. Any covenant. The grace of God. Man, if it wasn't for the grace of God, none of us could ever be saved. Think about that. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd have bragging sessions. What do we have to brag about? Nothing but Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. Every one of us were sinners, and every one of us remains sinners until we get to heaven. We're all sinners. And it's so awesome that he took us as sinners, and he did what? He transformed us. He saved us. He washed us. And now he uses us for his glory. And don't ever be afraid to share the gospel with people. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as he says here, not more glorious than anything else. Yes, it is. Verse 9. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. Remember in Romans 8:1, he says, therefore there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after what? After the Holy Spirit. Verses 1 and 2 of Romans. Then, verse 10. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. The ministry of the gospel of grace in Christ surpasses all testament. The Old Testament is gone. And when he says, made glorious here, I wrote this down. It says, when you compare it with the new covenant, it really has no glory at all. No glory at all. The grace of God is the best. Verse 11. For if what is passing away was glorious, the law, what remains is much more glorious. Underline that. Much more glorious. The very nature of the old covenant, which was veiled, the glory of God's revealed what? That it was temporary, and now we are what? Eternal. Man, we have eternity to look forward to. Verse 12, therefore, because of what I just told you in the first 11 verses, therefore, since we have such hope, notice the belief that all promises, our new covenant will happen, notice the such hope, we use great boldness of speech. The word here in Greek, boldness, means courageous. Paul preaching the new covenant fearlessly. That's what we need to do. With boldness, courageously, the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that need it. Verse 13, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily on the end of what was passing away. So their minds are still blinded in the truth. As though Moses was not trying to hide from them, but Moses was trying to share with them the Shekinah glory of God. That when he went up, he saw God, but he couldn't see God because he would be what? He would be dead. But the Shekinah glory of God, what are you doing? To say, he gave us a spirit. We have the Spirit of God. We're not dead. The Spirit of God has been given to us. Jesus came, he died and rose again, and he sent the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches. Verse 14. But their minds were blinded. See, that's the problem today. People's minds are blinded. Now, the children of Israel did not realize the true significance of what Moses was doing. So many Christians are the same. They don't understand, well, why are they saying this? Why are they doing this? Why are they going there? All these things, and that was the way people were. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. The law has found its fulfillment in who? In the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk to the Jews today, the majority of them, they don't even know who Christ is. They don't even know who God is. They're all atheists. You go to the rabbis down by the wall, you talk to them, and they can talk to you about the Old Testament. They know the Old Testament backwards and forwards. A child at 12 years old, they dedicate them there at the wall. They come with a rabbi, they come with their parents, and the child has to recite the actual five books of Moses, memorizing them. He memorized and he can quote them to you, five books. The Orthodox Jews. When I went to China, man, they could quote scripture. When I went to South America, they quote scripture. And the reason is because they spend time in prayer, and every morning they may memorize one verse or two verses or whatever it is. And then in your mind, the way I've memorized the Bible in my mind is by looking at dates. 7,000 years, and I can tell you the period time of books. And I can take you historically, like for the book of Exodus, all the way through and tell you what happened to Israel, how they went down, how they went up, and where they're heading. Because as a pastor teacher, I have to know that. But how do I do it? I got to read, I got to pray, I got to study. And then I can teach the Word of God. And the same with you. You got to teach people the Word of God. You got to tell them who Jesus is. And then he says, verse 15, but even to this day, when Moses is read, notice among the Jews, he says, as the veil lies on their hearts, they don't believe it. They're trying to gain salvation by their own works. On Christmas time, they do that. They think that they can satisfy God by giving them a gift. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When they trust by God, by faith, they go, wow, how come I didn't see this before? They read the scriptures and they say, well, not only do I believe in the Old Testament, but man, the prophecies are fulfilled in the New Testament. You see, that's what happens with the Word of God. It is so awesome to know that I read in Ephesians, but also I go back to the book of Isaiah and the actual Psalms, and I can see in the New Testament, in the epistles, the way the Psalms are used. And that's what's so cool, and that's why it says, verily, verily, I say, Jesus says, he's quoting from the Old Testament. And then when you go in the New Testament too, in the epistle, it is written. That means he's quoting from the Old Testament. So you have all these things going on. Verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord by faith, the veil is taken away. You become born again of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom from sin, liberty. The same Yahweh of the Old Testament, the same Lord who saved us and took away our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ. He set us free from sin. Not just Moses, again, verse 18, but we all, with unveiled faces, we're not under the law, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of who? Of the Lord. Where Arius Moses' face reflected glory, our faces reflect glory, our faces radiate the glory of the Lord inside of our hearts. Chapter 4. He says, therefore, he continues. Remember, there's no chapters in the New Testament. Therefore, since we have this ministry, what ministry? The gospel of Jesus Christ. As we have received mercy, we do not lose our hearts. Look at what God has given to us. We have this ministry. Losing our hearts, which means a strong heart in Greek term here, it refers to an abandoning oneself, the cowardly surrender. That's what it means in the Greek here, the term, which refers to abandoning oneself to a cowardly surrender, not lose heart. And then he says here also, since we have this ministry, the ministry, what ministry do you have? It's the ministry of grace. The ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ is what the grace of God in my life. Verse 2, that we have renounced the hidden things of shame. The word shame here, it means ugly or disgraceful in the Greek here. He says, but we have renounced or to turn away from or to repent the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. And the word deceitfully here, to tamper with, as was used in the non-biblical source to speak of the dishonest business practiced by debauching wine with water, mixing the water with wine. Notice what he says. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I love that. To every man's conscience in the sight of God. I love the way Paul does that. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to who? To those who are perishing. Remember that. If you veil the gospel of Jesus Christ, people are going to go to hell because you didn't tell them they were going to hell. And Paul's very clear about that. The problem was not that the message or the messenger, but the problem was also with the hearer not wanting to go to heaven, but wanting to go to hell. And that's because you told them the truth. And they rejected it. That's their problem. Verse 4. Whose minds the God, who's that? Satan. Of this age or this world. Has blinded who do not believe. So every person in your family, every person you work with, or anybody in the world, they have blind eyes and blind hearts. Who did that? The devil. He says, of this age was blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. So every person that is not a believer is going to go to hell. But when the gospel of Jesus Christ is shared with them, they repent and accept Christ, boom, the light goes on like he says here. And the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, shines now through your life, through my life. And people say, you see that person there? They're a Christian. They have Christ in their lives. I love it.
It is good to be reminded that God wants to share the light of his salvation through you so that others can experience the hope of eternal life. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Now, if you'd like to hear today's message again, we'll be glad to send you an unedited copy for a gift of $5 or more. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'd also like to offer you a brand new resource from Rawl simply titled Liberty. It's a 4-CD audio pack that celebrates Christ's rescue mission and saving us from sin while also zeroing in on our God-given responsibility to share the blessings of spiritual freedom. You'll see that it's only when we fully surrender to the Lord that we can experience true separation from sin's bondage and live out God's highest will for our life. Get in touch with us to order Rawl's audio series simply titled Liberty. To make your purchase, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. And we'll send you this four-lesson CD pack for a gift of $19 or more. Once again, that's 800-634-9165. To order by writing us, the mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also encourage you to enjoy our many free Somebody Loves You radio resources, each designed to infuse your daily life with encouragement from God's Word. Join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program with Bible-based insights for godly living. You can also explore our archive of Raul's teaching and download any Somebody Loves You radio program using Spotify or iTunes. To keep Scripture at your fingertips, take a moment to download our free app to your iPhone or Android. Well, overall, our number one goal is to help you grow closer to the Lord through the life-giving truth of His Word. We welcome your thoughts on how we can best serve you. And if you haven't already, be sure to connect with us on Instagram or Facebook. It's your contributions that help keep these programs on the air. Somebody Loves You Radio is funded through the generosity of partners like you, and every gift is tax deductible. We are so blessed to be able to share this time together studying the Bible, and we hope you'll join us again next time. Continuing with more in our study of 2 Corinthians, you'll see how the eternal hope of heaven can enrich and direct your life here on this earth. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.